scripture reading for today will be Ecclesiastes 12:1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them.
Thank you, Brother Rodney, for that reading from Ecclesiastes 12, a passage I'm sure familiar with many of you that you've heard, that you've read many times. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. And it's good to remember that. And it's good to remind ourselves of that. Because as time goes on, we have young people that are growing up that need to be reminded of this and need to hear these passages talked about again and again and again. Before the days of age and death set in. Because life is just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The passage really stands as a warning to young people about what you need to keep in your mind. And that you need to keep this in your mind to avoid a selfish indulgence in the things of the world that are presented to you as your days here continue. Reckless wastefulness during those days is something that fights against your vigor and your strength. And a very wise man warns us of those things. To forget your Creator in the days of your youth is to invite something into your life as your life goes on and you get older and go into old age, to invite something into your life that's not going to be pleasant at all. It's going to make you a bitter person. It's going to make you a person with many regrets. And when you reach an old age, having failed to remember your Creator, you will be sorry. There will be an emptiness that you will experience because you have failed to remember your Creator. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's the path of wisdom. That's what extends joy into life. And that's what makes your life beneficial, not only for yourself, but others who know you and others who are influenced by you in life. That really sets the whole tone for life. One passage that we might just pull that's somewhat similar to that comes from Psalm 71 in verse 17. It says, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. There are some things that we need to know from our youth, and we need to be assured of. And these things are beneficial for us, and they're beneficial for us throughout life as we live life and live in a way to take care of ourselves and live in a way to have a good positive influence on other people. Here God has guided the psalmist from the beginning of his life, revealing to him what his duty is and protecting him through life as he's gone through various dangerous paths that will come his way in life. Having listened to God all through the years, the person who wrote that psalm is ready to continue in his precepts. And I think that's worthy of note. So in the days of our youth, let me suggest to you, here is some wisdom. Learn what it means to live by right principles. Learn what it means to live in a right way. And be sure you define right the way that God defines right, and wrong the way that God defines wrong. For example, here's a passage in the New Testament that is exactly illustrates the point of learning what it means to live by right principles. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. That's what the inspired writer says about it. Do this because it's the right thing to do. So as you live your life, you want to form your life with a foundation built on principles because they're right. And remember, God is the one who decides what's right. That means you decide what is right for you, what is right for you to believe, what is right for you to do, what is right for you to live by, because it is right. The very opposite of wrong. It means not being influenced to do the wrong thing based upon emotions. It is important to learn in life how to make decisions not based on emotions, but based on principle. Is it right for me to feel that way? Is it right for me to treat that person this way? Is it right for me to do this in that set of circumstances? Ask those kind of questions because it's important to learn how to make those decisions. Far too many people in life make decisions based on how they feel about something, the emotions at the time. And, you know, when you're upset about something and you're going through some emotional turmoil, no matter what the cause of it is, a lot of times you make decisions that are not really as substantially stable and good for you as the decisions you would make when your emotions are not clouded. Moses was a man of principle. The Hebrew writer says of him in Hebrews 11, verse 24, beginning by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he was looking to the reward. Moses was a man who grasped the principle as a young man. He grasped the principle of, I want to do what's right. And I'm not focused so much on, well, if I do right, what will that bring to me? Because by doing right, sometimes it doesn't bring to you pleasant circumstances. But you can live with yourself, and you can look at yourself in the mirror because you're living by what is right. That was Moses, a man of strong principle and conviction. Both in ancient times and in modern times, young people have sometimes taking very bold stands for right and truth on matters that are not at all popular with their peers. Daniel, for example, was a very young man when he purposed in his heart, I'm not going to eat that food and I'm not going to drink those drinks that the king wants me to do. He refused to do that. He wouldn't defile himself with the food and drink of the regimen that was prescribed for him by the Babylonian king for young men in training places of leadership. Daniel wouldn't do that. He was a young man when he developed those convictions. The Bible's emphasis on his purpose of heart is crucial in the understanding of this matter of living according to one's principles. Once one has learned what truth demands and what God desires, then we need to build up the courage in ourselves to live according to those convictions. That's important for all of us to do. And doing it when we are young is the ideal situation. And it does require a great deal of courage. And it does require standing against opposition. Our great adversary, the Satan of the Bible, is going to see to it that we have opposition. We need to have something to resist that opposition with. It means not being influenced to do the wrong thing because of friends. We all need and we want friends. We appreciate friends. We want to be accepted by friends. And friends can be good for us. But there's an influence that friends have with friends. We need to understand that. It's important that we influence our friends for good. And be very careful that we do not let our friends influence us for something that is not good. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 gives us a strong piece of advice there about our friends. It means not choosing to do the wrong thing and saying, well, that's just the way I was raised. Or, I chose to do that because my circumstances weren't very good growing up. My father ran out on my mother. My brothers and sisters got in trouble with the law. So that means that's the environment I come from, so that's the way I choose to live. know, there are a lot of people in life that use their environment as an excuse for thinking wrong and doing wrong. But don't let that be you. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Choose to do what is right based upon principle. Don't use that as a crutch or an influence, because there are all kinds of troubles in the world, and each one will experience your own share of suffering and pain and difficulties. It's really quite tempting to let the storms of life that come your way, to let these storms sweep you away from what you need to be holding on to. It's really quite easy to do that. Losing faith or giving in to some temptation to do wrong will not solve any of those problems for you. It is only resolute endurance, steadfastness, patience, and long-suffering, those kind of characteristics that you can read about and appreciate in God's Word and God's servants, it's only those kind of principles that will help see you through. You need to learn about those. You need to appreciate those. You need to incorporate those in your life, because they'll help you and they're good. So learn what it means to live by principles. Another piece of good advice, I think, based on Scripture, scripturally sound, is listen to your parents and grandparents. And we're not saying listen to the parents who are not living right and not teaching you right. I don't think that's the case with the parents that we have here. But they're trying to live right, and they want you to live right, so listen to them. Listen to your parents. Listen to your grandparents. One who is alert to life and desires for himself in life to be something more than mediocre will train himself to listen and to match his instructors. Now, there are three primary instructors that you can think about in life. The Lord is an instructor to you as a person. Your parents are instructors to you as a person. And your teachers are instructors to you as a person. So let's think about that a little bit. Isaiah 48 and verse 17 is one passage that we may look at and thinking about, okay, the Lord is my teacher. I receive instruction from His written word. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, notice, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Listen to the Lord as a teacher. And the parent is the first teacher of any individual, of any young person growing up in a family. You look to your parents to teach you first and foremost. Proverbs 1 and verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Here you have a passage that shows that to be the case. The goal of the parents, of course, is to foster in their children wise patterns of behavior, wise habits of thought and action, which equip one to find his way through life with confidence and the right kind of knowledge, and being able to rely on the right kind of wisdom and action with honor. There's a great power of spiritual and moral advancement in the words of a good teacher. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The teacher that you listen to at school, or someone else who teaches you, maybe in the Bible classes, or maybe from the pulpit, you have to learn to be in a position to weigh those words very carefully, to pick out what comes from God and what will benefit you in this life and in the life to come, and live by those words. And there may be some teachers that are not going to teach you the right thing as you go through life. You need to discern what those are and reject those, because words are very powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of what various teachers in this world will offer you in the form of teaching. So it's important to have a wise teacher. The Hebrews were a people who were very insistent upon the proper moral training of their children, teaching them in the right way early in life when the mind is most impressionable. The result of such training will be a way of living godly, a way of living righteously that becomes second nature to the child. That's the idea in the parents' constant training. To fail in that effort to educate our children in that respect would be to foster attitudes in young lives that will eventually create problems in every area of life, social and religious. Education is important because the greatest joy that parents can have is to see their children grow up and be wise in the choices they make in life. And some of the saddest situations that I have ever known in life is what parents experience when their children deliberately choose to walk away from God, to reject His principles of righteousness, to reject His teaching, to reject the words of encouragement to live right, and become foolish people. That's the greatest pain that parents can know in life. And there's some passages from Proverbs that fully support that point that I've listed for you on the board. So we would encourage you then to listen to your teachers that are teaching you the right thing in your home. Listen to the teachers in your home, which is going to be your parents and your grandparents. They know where you are because they've been there. Now you may look at them and that concept may not compute with you because of what people call maybe a generation gap or something. And you may think your parents don't know much and you know what's going on. And that's because you're a young person and you're full of energy. And this is characteristic of young people. But your parents have a lot of experience. And they have seen in other people a lot of things that have shaped their concepts and that have sharpened warnings of hazards and dangers that are out there for you. When you walk out the door and they say, be careful, you know, what are they saying to you? Is it just some statement you get used to hearing? You know? They don't go into a whole detailed system about, before you go out this evening, let me explain to you all the dangers that are out there in the world that could take your life, that could take your soul. But they're reminding you, be careful. What is that? Because they're not saying that you don't have good sense, that you're going to walk out in front of a truck and get run over. But what they're basically saying to you is there are dangers out there in the world. And I've seen people overcome by the dangers, and I've seen their children overcome by the dangers, and I've seen the hurt and the pain and the agony and the difficulty and the problems and all of the things that a lot of times people bring on themselves by making foolish choices, and I don't want those foolish choices for you. That's really what they're saying. So there are a lot of dangers out there. It's thrilling to be young, and it's thrilling to be alive, and to have energy, and to want to go places, and to do things. One wants to experience life and the things that life has to offer. Take in all of those experiences and see those sights. Your parents know this feeling. They were once your age and they know what you're thinking about when you're young. There's not a desire that you have that they don't have. This is a hard concept to understand until you really experience it. There's a reason why your parents may tell you no or limit your activities and experiences. But trust the Lord. And the Lord's guiding your parents. Children, be obedient in all things to your parents. Why? Because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So trust the Lord first. Trust your parents. Your parents and grandparents know full well the the consequences of making poor choices in life. And it's very important to consider the consequences of choices that you make, that they allow you to make, as you learn responsibility in life. They want you to learn responsibility in life. And they can show you what will happen when you make good choices. And that's important too. Maybe your parents have made some poor choices in life. And maybe they don't necessarily need to go into details like of those poor choices with you and fully tell you about everything they've experienced or what they've experienced through the lives of other people and grieving over their children or their children grieving over their parents. But they know something about it by the people they've met in life and the people they've associated with. And they have a great deal of wisdom for you as a young person if you will listen. Maybe your parents have made some poor choices in life. I don't know many people who have not made some kind of poor choice in life. And they've learned something from that, and they want to help you to learn that too. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." You see in that passage, parents are a child's very first authority figures in life. A child's parents stand in the place of God to the child until he reaches the age of understanding and responsibility. Parental responsibility, therefore, should be held in the very highest respect by parents and children. Generally, people who honor their parents grow up to be people who respect authority and honor the law and stay out of jail. Also, they're disposed to honor God and respond positively to divine truth when it's taught them, when they hear a lesson from divine truth. And in doing this, they avoid many of life's snares. Read the book of Proverbs sometime. While you're waiting around for a doctor's appointment or something, take out your Bible, read Proverbs, and see the dangers that the proverbial writer is trying to get a younger person to think about and to realize, because there are many snares, pitfalls, temptations, and dangers in this old world. They have a much greater likelihood of long life than those who grow up being disrespectful to parents. He's not saying that this is a rule that follows the case every time. He's saying here's a general concept. If you want to live long on this earth, and if you want to live a life of peace, then you live this way. Do not forget the teaching of your parents. Do not forget their commandments to you and the Lord's commandments to you. And do not let kindness leave you. It's a general principle. And if you live according to those principles, generally it is true that you will live a longer life than those who grow up not living by those principles. There are people that I went to high school with that are not alive today. And one of the reasons, the main reasons why many of those are not alive today is they rejected these principles. They rejected the warning of their parents. They rejected the warning of the people who taught them in the Bible classes. They rejected God's Word. And they said, "I'm going to live life my way. And I'm going to have all the fun I want to have." And as a result of that, many of them are not alive. I had some very close friends growing up that chose to live in a different way. Some of them died in tragic automobile accidents. Some of them died in house fires because they were not sober enough to make their way out of the house when it was on fire. Tragic circumstances of life. Don't live a life of disrespect to your parents and disdainful of authority and ignorant of God's way of living that is right and good and peaceable for you. Your parents and grandparents have wisdom that comes from experience and observation. It has come many times as a result of hard circumstances and difficult circumstances. And they hope that you do not have those difficult and hard circumstances in life. Parents and grandparents have experienced and seen more life and more people than you have experienced and seen. That's just the way it is. They've lived longer than you. They know a thing or two, and you can benefit from that. So as you grow older, you learn how other people think and how other people live and how other people react to life. Proverbs 6:20, my son, observe the commandment of your father and forsake not the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. This concept of binding on the heart and tying around the neck of parental instruction, what that really means in a nutshell is these principles are vital to you. They're vital to your survival. That's why you want them close. That's why you want to never let them go. That's why you want to tie them around your neck. When young people become adults, they will be fully responsible when they're on their own for their thoughts. And they will be fully responsible when they're on for their actions. Fully responsible on their own for the shaping of their character and giving direction. For a wise and happy life is what parents have in mind when they impart these principles to you. The day will come when you will be on your own. You'll be fully accountable to God for everything that you think and everything that you say and everything that you do. You're on your own. And yes, you can spread your wings. And yes, you can live freedom. And yes, you can live out from under mom and dad. But you've got to have some resources to make the right kind of choices or you'll be headed for disaster. So rely on the guidance of wiser teachers and shaping character and giving direction for a wise and happy life. And then thirdly and finally, just this brief word, treasure the moments that you have. Treasure the moments that you have. Why? Can't ever go back. You can't erase the past. You may, and probably will, make some foolish choices in life. Because you're gonna test the boundaries. You're gonna see, was it really the way grandpa said it was? Was it really the way mama said it was? You're gonna wanna test those boundaries. And you're gonna make some poor choices in life. And you can't go back and erase the poor choices that you made. You just can't. And what you're gonna have to do is live with those poor choices. But it's going to be a lot more pleasant for you if you don't make those poor choices to begin with. But a lot of times, that's a very difficult principle for young people to realize. There are certain points in life where you step over a threshold that you won't cross again. When it comes to getting your first job, for example, getting married, having children, that's a threshold you may never cross again. And even the passing years move your life onward to a point. And you'll never return to the past. You'll never return to the way it was. Friends you know now will move away. Brothers and sisters that you have in the household with you now will grow up, move out, develop families and lives of their own. And you'll never quite be able to recapture the experiences that you know as a young person. James said it this way, in James 4 and verse 14, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You know, he had a firm grasp on the obvious, didn't he? You don't know what your life's going to be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. He's very clear that the length of life is very short. And ask any older person about how short life is. And they might describe it in terms of a roller coaster, something like that. The Bible uses many illustrations to emphasize how quickly life passes. We're not really told specifically what kind of vapor James is talking about, whether it was smoke or fog or a cloud or steam rising from a boiling pot. But the point is, it's here for a little while and then it just dissipates. It's gone. That's the way life is. Even if one lives to a ripe old age, he still looks back on his life and says, you know, it was really all pretty short. I was here for a little while, and now I'm facing leaving. And, you know, we can't really count on living to a ripe old age, can we? Anything can happen in life. Even the young die. Don't wish your life away. Don't wish to be older than you are. Just take it as it comes now. When I was in school, my friends and I would always say, you know, I wish this, or I wish that, or I wish I was out of high school and on my own. I needed to stop that foolishness and just, I need to be patient. Just take it as it comes. Just live each day. Live life for that day. And adults used to tell us a lot of times, don't wish your life away. There's something to be treasured. There's something to be said about the time that you have right now. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 11, not that I speak from want, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. Don't wish your life away. The life of following Christ is certainly a learning experience, and one thing we learn is, with the Lord's help, we can handle any challenge. And the Lord is going to be with us if we choose to be with Him. And we can handle anything, and whatever the day brings, we can handle it because the Lord is with us. Paul was independent of circumstances because he was dependent on Christ. I don't have to worry about it all. I don't have to take full charge of every little aspect. I need to give a lot of it to the Lord and let Him handle it. Learn this dependence on the divine resources for life and don't wish your life away. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Many of your grandparents have made this statement and you've heard it. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't borrow troubles from the past and keep them alive in your life today. And don't look to the future and what if, and take all those imagined troubles that may or may not come into your life and bring them into today. What you've got today is enough for today. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Due to people worrying about things, you know, people do worry about things a lot of times. Don't make yourself a worrier. Many people chew their fingernails. Many people pace back and forth, or they stay awake at night wrestling with their thoughts. Teenagers and young adults often worry about many things, including their friendships, their relationships with other people, male and female relationships, their studies, their future, what it'll be like in college. Who will I meet? Who will I want to marry? Who will I want to have children with? And they worry about things like that. So a lot of people worry about their clothing. What type of clothing do I need to wear? What brand names do I want to wear? What latest fashions do I want to wear? People worry about things like that. Older people are worried about looking younger and living longer. And some efforts to remain young may provide a better quality of life. But worrying about those matters can actually shorten our lives. Worrying is not good. It's detrimental to our health. Many studies have identified worry as a contributor to serious health problems. Jesus taught us a lot about anxiety and put it away from you. Rely on God. He knows everything you need. He knows everything there is to know about you. Rely on Him. Don't live lives of anxiety and constant frustration over things. It has been well said that today is all we really have. And that's true. And if we ask God, He will give us the strength that we need to live this day and get the most out of it. If we can carry troubles over, if we carry troubles over from yesterday, borrow them from tomorrow, we'll never really have enough sufficient strength for today. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but tomorrow will take care of itself. And make the most of your opportunities. You have opportunities that other people won't have. You have opportunities that are different from other people. But you will have opportunities. You will have occasions where you can realize something great, some great blessing, some great good, something good for you, something peaceable for your life, something right for you. Some opportunities are inconsequential. Others, however, only come around once in a lifetime. Be careful with your opportunities. Turning down a good opportunity will result in regret in your life. And there will be some regrets in your life. Perhaps most importantly are the opportunities in life that we have to do what is right. Paul told the Galatian Christians in Galatians 6 and verse 10, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those of the household of faith." There's great wisdom in that. You'll never regret doing good for other people. So make that something that's very much a part of your life. In the days of your youth, learn what it means to live by right principles. Listen to your parents and your grandparents. Treasure the moments that you have. We thought earlier about opportunity. God has given us another day and another opportunity to enter His family. Jesus told several parables about opportunity. One parable is the parable of the great feast in Luke chapter 14. Many people were invited to that great feast. But many people did not come. They didn't take advantage of their opportunities. Why not take advantage of the opportunity that God offers you today to walk closer to Him, to enjoy His salvation that He's made available to you? Why not take advantage of that opportunity today, if you're not a Christian, to become a Christian? Do not eat another meal. Sleep another night. Do not travel another mile until you have obeyed the gospel and become a Christian and set your path on the way which is right. We can help you with that today, if we can. Please come to the front. Let me know about it. While together we stand and encourage you by singing the invitation song.